the Drex Radio Show on KGO San Jose, Oakland, San Francisco.
Findings in a deadly Amtrak derailment, a Zika fight on Capitol Hill. I'm Ann Cates. Federal investigators have concluded that the engineer at the helm of an Amtrak train that derailed in Philadelphia just over a year ago was distracted, leaving 8 dead and more than 200 passengers injured. Correspondent Renee Marsh.
We know that the trip from the Philadelphia train station to the site of the derailment was about 11 minutes. And I'm told that for 7 to 9 of those minutes, this engineer was listening in or even participating in that radio communications about these other trains who had reported being hit by something, possibly a rock.
House Republicans have unveiled legislation today to provide $622 million in Zika funding. The Obama administration had proposed almost $2 billion to combat the virus. The Senate scheduled to vote on several Zika measures tomorrow. On Wall Street, the Dow rose 175 points. The Nasdaq gained 58 points. I'm Ann Cates. Democratic presidential contender Hillary Clinton says if she's elected, her spouse will be more than just a first husband. Correspondent Ryan Nobles.
Hillary Clinton is rolling out a new, not-so-secret weapon.
I want to go to places where people think every tomorrow is going to be like yesterday and say, no, it's not. You can go along for the ride. And that's what we're going to do.
That is Bill Clinton. He is her husband and, of course, a former president. The former Secretary of State outlining just how she might use her husband in her administration, tasking him with fixing the economy. Part of Hillary Clinton's effort to seal the Democratic nomination, a fight Bernie Sanders has yet to give up. In Washington, I'm Ryan Nobles.
The Washington Post is reporting that Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump will meet Wednesday with former Secretary of State Henry Kissinger. The meeting in New York comes after weeks of telephone conversations between Trump and Kissinger. I'm Ann Cates.
It's one thing to drive up to your summer cabin. It's another to charge up to your cabin in your pulse-pounding 290-horsepower Acura MDX with super-handling all-wheel drive. If you prefer the latter, then don't miss Northern California Acura's Summer of Luxury sales event, where you can acquire any new Acura model at remarkable savings, including a $409 a month lease on the 2016 Acura MDX, the 7-passenger SUV named a best car for the money by U.S. News & World Report, 4 years in a row. Just $409 for MDX? That's more than pulse pounding. That's smart. This event ends May 31st, so see your Northern California Acura dealer now. Lease a 2016 MDX 9-speed automatic for $409 per month plus tax for 36 months through Acura Financial Services with $29.99.
You're listening to the Drex Radio Show.
How to apply for a job. How to advance from the mailroom. How to sit down at a desk. How to dictate memorandums. How to...
Is this Harry Potter? Daniel Radcliffe?
How to commute in a 3-button suit with that weary executive smile.
All right, it's career time with Marty Nemco. Good evening, Marty. Thank you for joining me on the Drex Radio Show.
My pleasure.
That was fun. I didn't know that Harry Potter had it in him.
Well, you know, we listen to Drex Radio Show and you learn something every night.
That's true. I just learned that Harry Potter sings. Okay. Well, Marty Nemco is our career coach. He and his website is martynemco.com, linked to kgoradio.com. And every weeknight, every Monday night around this time, we talk about careers. So tonight we're going to start with dealing with difficult people.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, in the workplace. And we can all relate to that.
Well, tell me, why don't we be specific? Tell me about, you have to mention his or her name, but tell me about a difficult person you've had to deal with.
Okay, let me see here. I've had people on the air with me in previous situations when they were mad at someone else who was on the show, they would not perform.
They refused. So,
yes.
So if this were during commercial break, I would probably say to them the following. I'd say, you're going to feel great about having done this show if you really are your best self. If you end up being annoyed, you're going to feel bad. My listeners are going to feel bad. Do you want to, do you, I know you have it in you to do a great job. I wouldn't have had you on the show otherwise. What are your real thoughts, Mr. or Ms. Guest? So I end with a, you know, I try to appeal to their highest self, and then I ask them a question that would engage them and get them involved and more likely to get under control. But no lecturing them. I didn't say, how could you do that? I wouldn't do any of that. I'd ask a question to try to get their engagement.
And would you do that when it happens, or do you call them in later after whatever has diffused itself at another time, privately?
Well, if it's during a show and, you know, the guy or woman is on a segment, I'm expecting to have her on for a half hour or an hour, and after, let's say, one or two, you know, segments, she's boiling over, and during the next commercial break, I don't want to screw up my hour. So I'm going to go, and at that, you know, normally, yes, I know the advice is to let them cool off. But in this situation where you've got a time-sensitive situation, I would not say take a deep breath, because that's really patronizing. But I would, at the first commercial break, I wouldn't want to embarrass them on the air. But during the first commercial break, I would do what I just said.
Right. Well, in my situation, in our situation, we're talking about show business. The show always goes on. So the ceiling tiles could be falling. Someone's head could be exploding on the other side. And I'm still going to do the show. And you probably won't know that their head is exploding because I don't have time for that. But in the workplace, outside, and by the way, in any office or even if you do blue collar, white collar, it doesn't matter. You don't always get along with people. And when you don't get along with people, sometimes you have to go to the boss. But then you don't want to be, you know, the snitch.
The first, it depends on the nature of the situation.
There are
some people who are simply going to rub you the wrong way. And those are people, if at all possible, those relationships generally don't get fixed. So the wisest thing you could probably do would be avoid them as much as possible. If there is an opportunity to work on a team project without them rather than with them, but let's make it harder. Let's say this is the person, this is your teammate, and you're working together on all kinds of things. Let's get a specific example. What is it that annoys you? Make believe you're the person, and you're annoyed, and you're in the workplace. Let's say you're a blue-collar person. You're on a factory floor, and the person next to you is somebody who annoys you. Give me something specific that annoys you about this person.
Okay. They say they're going on their 10-minute break, and it ends up being 15 or 20.
Okay, and then you have to pick up the slack.
That's
right. Correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Or so, I rat them out.
I would probably say something like this at this point. You know, I suspect and I probably wouldn't do it there. I would take the person out for coffee. I'd want to, you know, it's like the good New Testament thing. Turn the other cheek, make the first effort. I would say, can I take you out for coffee? Or you mind having coffee with me in the break room, or let's go out to lunch together. That's going to shock the person, because probably deep down, that person knows he or she's been a shirker, and here you are reaching out. Then after, you don't bring up the problem right away, but kind of after you're just about finished with lunch and you've kind of bonded on stupid small talk, like about the 49ers or the Giants or the fashion or whatever the hell it is, then you say, you know, I'm feeling actually a little uncomfortable bringing this up, and I suspect you have good reasons, but I'm finding myself having to cover for you a lot. For example, just yesterday you took a long break and you take long lunches and whatever. I'm sure you have good reasons, but you don't want him to even go into it, because that's going to invest it. But I'd say, I know you've got good reasons, but I'm wondering if I could count on you kind of, you know, pulling your own weight so I don't have to pick up your slack. And then I would not expect him to apologize, because he's going to get defensive, he's going to whatever, but I've planted a seed. And then I say, it's all right, it's okay, be well. And then you go back, and more than likely, no guarantees, more than likely, he's going to be or she's going to be good for at least a while. Of course, if it recurs, then I might go one more time and say, you know, the last thing I want to do is be a tattletale. But, you know, I'm ending up having to work a lot more for you. I'm rushing. I'm not getting stuff done. I need you to pull your weight here. Here are three examples in the last week that you did this. And then I shut up again. But if he does it again, then I go to the boss with my log. I will have kept a log of the whole thing. That's how I would deal with that.
Okay, and then the boss's responsibility is, and it's always very interesting, and I agree with you, Marty, to do exactly what you said, but then it's sometimes very interesting to see how management handles this, especially, I love the 10-minute break idea. So it's 20 minutes, and you keep, okay, well, I had the chat, now they're continuing to do it to me, so I reported it to the boss, and now he or she, what if they don't do anything?
Yep, well, you know what? The Serenity Prayer, it's funny, I'm such a not religious guy, but the Serenity Prayer tells you to grant God grant me the wisdom to know the difference between what I can and can't change. And you've done your part. You've bent over backwards to stay calm and measured and thoughtful and tactful with this person twice. Didn't do any good. You go to the boss. The boss does nothing. At that point, you need to say, you know what? I am a superior human being. And I need to rise above this. And if it's too much work, I'm just going to do what I, you know, let's say you just don't want to keep picking up this person's slack, because all he's doing is rewarding him for his or her bad behavior. So then you say, you know what, I'm just going to do my job. And if, and let's say the assembly line ends up being screwed up, then somebody's going to investigate it, and then I will come out fine. That's how I would do it. I wouldn't push it anymore.
Yeah, that's good advice, because you just sometimes it's not throw your hands in the air like you just don't care, but just let it just simmer. Sooner or later, it will boil over. Somebody's got to clean up the mess.
But really, you know, we're talking at that point about the 0.1%. Most people, if somebody, like if I, let's say you and I were coworkers, and let's say we were bookkeepers, I'm taking different examples, or accountants, and we had jointly responsible for a project, and invariably you were not pulling your weight, and I take you out to lunch, and we talk about it, and I'm tactful and respectful, but make it clear that I need you to pull your weight, and then you don't do it, and I come to you again, and you don't do it. I mean, most times it's not going to reach the point where it's got to get to the boss.
Yeah, I think these things fold themselves. Either it works out, like you said, or it doesn't, and they fold and they split. I don't know, one or the other. I mean, and of course, you can always leave yourself. All right, Marty Nemko is my guest. MartyNemko.com is his website, linked to KGORadio.com. He's our career coach. Coming up next, whether it's a two-minute presentation at a staff meeting or, I don't know, whatever you do in your life, whether you're having with your employees or you are the employee, you're going to have this presentation for your boss or a keynote address. What is the best way when it comes to public speaking? What are the rules and the do's and the don'ts? We'll talk to Marty about that coming up. But first, with a look at traffic, here's Lee Graham.
Now back to the Drex Radio Show.
Now back to the Drex Radio Show.
On KGO 810.
Now there you are. Yes, there's that face.
How to succeed at business.
That face that somehow I trust.
This is 1967. It Robert Morris.
It may embarrass you to hear me say it, but say it I must. Say it I must. You have the cool, clear eyes of a seeker of wisdom and truth.
I don't know. Karen Reed, our engineer today, is in music land. Musical land. All right, we're back with Marty Nemko, my career coach. And we do it all the time, Marty, but I was thinking about the topic that we're going to discuss, which is public speaking, whether that's a presentation in front of your staff or your boss. And we, you know, you and I do this professionally. But even when I'm in front of an audience, it's different. Even sometimes at a large staff meeting, it's different because, yes, I'm doing very, very public speaking, but I'm talking into a tube of steel by myself.
I think the core thing is two things that I encourage. There are some people who are just natural public speakers, but I'm trying to now picture the audience of normal people who have to make a brief presentation.
That's
at a
right.
staff meeting or a toast at somebody's wedding or, you know. And what ends up being the quick and dirtiest, best piece of advice I can give is to don't think of it as a speech. Think of it as a conversation where you're talking one-on-one to people. If you're talking to 7 people or 10 people, start at the left side of the room and make believe you're just talking to that one person for a few seconds, like you're talking over at a bar. You're having your second drink with somebody. Say your first sentence or two, turn to the next person, say your next sentence or two very conversationally, and don't over-prepare. People who try to script their talks end up being sterile, and they end up being so stiff, as soon as they forget one word, they're completely thrown off. All I want you to do, if you're having a 2-minute talk or a 10-minute talk, a few key words on an index card. You need a PowerPoint presentation to keep you on task? Fine. Have a slide with each of 2 or 3 words on them to keep you on task. But no scripting. Think of it more as a conversation. You don't need to be a humorist. You need to bring yourself to the table. Whatever your natural personality is, intense, laid back, funny, not funny, whatever, and be who you are. And that ultimately is the world's shortest course on how to give a good talk, whether it's 2 minutes or 30.
You're right on the money. There's no doubt about that. And don't make that PowerPoint presentation go too long.
Oh, no. There is an old rule that says that 22 minutes is the maximum. Actual good studies, I don't remember what they are.
I remember. Go ahead.
22 minutes, even if you're a keynoter and they're making you $5,000, they're paying you $5,000, 22 minutes. But here's how you can – they normally allow you 30 or 40.
Right.
Here is the right – I'm going to tell you a structure for a speech that works so well, even if you're making $10,000 a speech. And I've made almost that much a number of times. Number one, You come an hour early before the thing, so you can bond with people and have some little anecdote to start off with that shows you bonded, that you didn't just ascend from heaven to give dispense your wisdom. Then you start by telling them what you're going to tell them. You tell them, say, I'm going to tell you three things that will help you do whatever, and that whatever needs to be very important to the audience. Then you tell them each of the three things with an example, a story, a statistic, whatever. Then you tell them what you told them. Now we get to the punchline. That all needs to be done in about 15 minutes, maybe 18. Then you do Q&A for about 5 or 10 minutes, so there's interactivity. And I did leave out a step. Excuse me. During your 15 or 18 minutes when you're giving an example, use a technique where you say, okay, I've just taught you this point. Turn to the person next to you and discuss with each other how this would or would not apply to your situation. That gets 100% of the people in the audience actively involved, and they're not just sitting and listening to you all the time. Then you end with an inspiring story, a funny story, whatever, that is a call to action, and that structure works amazingly well.
It's good stuff, I have to say. And again, because people who, and managers, when they have meetings, they go 45 minutes an hour. You've seen the numbers. By an hour, you hit an hour, you've lost the room.
Absolutely. It's Sominex tonight.
That's right.
Sleep time.
They're not there. All right, let's talk politics a little bit. Donald Trump, and you have some advice how to run his campaign. He should be running it, how he should be doing it.
I'll tell you what I would do. First of all, of course, he's got the positive piece is that clearly the American public is sick of politics as usual and all the BS that the politicians give, and they are afraid of America devolving. So he's got a strong rebellion group of folks, just like Bernie Sanders does on the other side. So that's fine. But his big negatives is he's a loose cannon. He talks too much and he doesn't sound authoritative. And he's evasive. He speaks in these vague generalities. The first thing I would do is have him hire a group of brilliant policymakers that are relatively centrist, because what he needs is the swing voters. So he needs people who are going to make him feel like he's not some wild, crazy right-wing nut. And so you get brilliant moderate Republicans to develop a three is always the magic number, a three-point platform for domestic policy, a three-point platform for foreign policy that's moderate and intelligent. And he practices his butt off, incorporating that into his stump speech. And then he has really mainstream, excellent, high-quality, unimpeachable quality people to be surrogates for him as much as possible on the Sunday talk shows. And he needs to be moderate. President Obama is maybe the greatest speaker that has ever had the presidency.
Agreed.
He is passionate, but he's moderate in tone. He's controlled. He, of all people, Donald Trump must imitate the Barack Obama passion under control. And that's what I would tell him.
Well, he tried it once, and Marty, he was not able to pull it off with the teleprompter. The Tanzania.
No teleprompter. He can do it spontaneously. Teleprompter is sterile. That's no good. He's got to be Donald, but he's got to be more like... When I hear him talk to his sons occasionally, he's not a bombast. He's talking like a person. Remember, like I just told people, whether you're doing a two-minute talk at a staff meeting or a keynote, you're to be conversational. Like right now, when I'm talking to you, Drex, do you believe... I mean, I'm just talking to you the way I would be talking with you if we were off the radio.
Exactly.
Right, and he needs to be doing exactly that, as though he was talking to his son. And if he can't do it, then damn it, if I'm his campaign manager, he and I are practicing our butts off until he can do that and be a natural person, not telepromptered, but not crazy wild man.
I totally agree. But I want to ask you one thing that I think he's been brilliant at, and he is a master of marketing, so this goes back to his business side, and that is branding. Let's take a look at Low Energy Jeb, Little Marco, and now it's Crooked Hillary, Crazy Bernie, it was Lion Ted. So I know that he's doing that, and that's him branding.
I would absolutely, if I'm his campaign manager, I absolutely stop with no more name calling. Because that, in the end, I wouldn't just trust my judgment, because we live in an era of focus groups with people among swing voters with sitting in a room with a dial saying, you know, they hear him give a draft of his speech,
yes,
and they turn the dial from zero, I hate it, to 10, I love it. I'm sure that when he's name calling, he's sounding like a child and not like somebody who should be the leader of the most powerful nation on earth. So I would focus to group test. Him never, no name calling. He's already got the wild man vote. He needs to have the people, he needs to get the centrist vote comfortable with the idea of him having his finger on the button and him talking at the United Nations and him talking with Putin. That requires a dramatic change. Fortunately, the electorate has a very short memory. And if he can be presidential from now on, he will not lose the wild man vote, that the really disaffected blue-collar white vote who is very unhappy with the way this nation is turning. And there's some legitimate concerns there. But what he needs, that's not enough to win the election. He needs to get the centrists. So he needs to be able to appeal to the reasoned middle.
Okay, I agree with you. However, will he do that? It seems to me he does not listen to his consultants. Will he listen to someone who tells him?
I think that's a really good point. And I think consultants are too much advice givers. So I would be a little more subtle. And I would take him for a long hike and a long walk, because exercise also kind of calms you down. He's a type A person. And I need to get him calm and ask him, deep down in your soul, Donald, talk to me. This is all confidential. How are you really feeling about this campaign? How are you really feeling about the way the media is treating you? How are you really feeling? And get as much of the concern to come from him, because, look, all the polls show he would lose bad to either Hillary or Bernie. I need it to come from him. And I'm going to ask, instead of advice giving, I would ask as many questions as I could to get as much of the change to come from him. And I would model. Notice how I've lowered my tone right now in talking with you. I would model what I think is presidential behavior as I was talking with him. And hopefully, subtly, without my saying a word, it would get him to be more controlled.
Conversation. That is the key and the art of conversation. Thank you very much, Marty Nemko. And MartyNemko.com is Marty's site. He is our career coach. I thank you, sir. Have a great rest of the week.
You too.
All right, let's take a break, and we'll be back with Joe Tobin. And one of the stories that I want to talk about is that's churning around in the news. Have you heard this story coming out of SoCal? A guy rescued someone from a burning car, but only after he set up his iPhone to record it so that he could be the hero. That's on the way on the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810. But first, with a look at traffic, here's Lee Graham.
KGO 810.
Ozzy Osbourne, are you sleeping with your hairdresser? You are. So what does that mean for your marriage? I see. And how often have you been sleeping around? And let me guess, that pisses Sharon off? And what exactly did you say to Sharon when she kicked you out? And now that you're split up again, what's Sharon's reaction? What's the last thing Sharon wants to hear from you right now?
Mama, I'm coming home.
Do you think you two will get back together?
Maybe.
Maybe.
It's not too late.
Anything you'd like to say to Sharon?
I love you.
One last question. Now that you're kicked out of the house, where are you going to live, Ozzy?
Don't ask me. I don't know.
Thank you, and welcome back from the 80s. Oh, my God. Joe Tobin.
Hey, Drex. That, man, I'm having such a wonderful flashback. That's like such a like an 80s bit of like we're going to ask like the fake interview where you play the song lyrics. Usually it's with song lyrics from someone that's intelligible, but it's still, you know, even with the Ozzy, it's still pretty funny.
That was such an 80s
radio
bit. I
haven't heard that, since I was a kid. Oh, man.
Yeah, the crew put that together for me.
That is great.
I because we were thinking about that, and I said, you know, we used to do this thing in the 80s.
Wow, man.
Slam that
good
stuff
times.
Together.
Yeah, totally. It's like he would frame it. We have Ozzy in studio, a couple of questions for Ozzy, and then you just set up a song lyric.
Right.
Wonderful.
Gotta love it.
The classics.
You know, while we're speaking of the 80s, I don't know if you remember in 88 when McDonald's had this weird contest. Joe Tobin is my guest, Tobin Mike Knight, Wednesday night.
This Wednesday, Doc's Lab, 8 p.m.
Okay, right on. McDonald's did this weird thing where they released a song of their entire menu in lyrics. You remember?
I think I do.
I definitely remember singing the Big Mac
fries,
ingredients.
That was the song that I remember.
Well,
the whole menu?
They put the flexi disc vinyl records in the newspapers.
Oh, the kids are going to love that. Back then, you mean. Yeah.
Right,
oh,
remember
yeah.
the plastic flexi disc?
Oh, dude, you're blowing my mind. Yes.
I know.
It would, yeah,
We're
yes.
in the 80s again.
It would be a square, you know, record you could put on your turntable.
And play it. It would play a couple times.
How fun. Oh, yeah. Man. Someone should start doing that again.
They should, because you could hand that stuff out to as a promotion.
Yes.
I mean, now that vinyl
the
is
kids are
so
they're back on the vinyl.
Right.
You have a vinyl record player, you still?
You know, it's in
you
a
must.
Box, and it's in a box left over from the 80s and 90s.
I bet it's like a class. It's probably a great system.
And you know what I have? I have a lot of the original albums that were released to radio. I have radio albums.
We're both
I have like the original Led Zepp, the radio issues, Peter Frampton, the Knack.
You should just out of
these,
curiosity,
Michael Jackson, all of the radio issued ones.
So you're talking
you have
like
a Drexium.
Yeah,
you mean
I do.
like the promo, like for promo use only ones?
Right.
Whoa.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
That is a serious. That's a serious collector's item.
They're in mom and dad's basement.
Oh, so time for another trip. Look out, TSA.
Actually, I think they're split. I think my sister has most of them now because vinyl's back in.
Yes.
I said, just don't scratch and don't mess up the covers, please.
Don't leave them in the sun.
But anyway, let's get back to this. Yeah. So there was one copy where the singers got through the entire song without screwing it up. And whoever got that copy won $1 million back in 1988.
Oh, so they gave out a bunch of
fake ones where they screwed it up. Yes, the majority of them.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Now that's, you know,
999,999. Yeah.
That's a pretty, I'm going to say clever with air quotes. That's a pretty clever way of making you listen to the whole song.
Yes.
You know, like it's not like, oh, the person that messed up the first verse. It's like, no, you got to sit to this whole horrible, I'm assuming it's a horrible song.
Yeah, but we have the guy who sings the example and he does it perfectly at the start of each record. And take a listen if you remember this. And now this was the beginning, okay.
Big Mac McDLT, a quarter pounder with some cheese filet, a fish, a hamburger, a cheeseburger, a Happy Meal, McNuggets, tasty golden french fries, regular or larger size, a salad, chef or garden, or a chicken salad, oriental, big breakfast, egg McMuffin, hot cakes and sausage, maybe biscuits, bacon, egg and cheese or sausage, Danish hash browns, 2 and 4 dessert, hot apple pies and sundaes, 3 varieties of sausage, cone, 3 kinds of shakes and chocolate, Egypt cookies and a drink of Coca-Cola, Diet Coke and orange, drink a Sprite and coffee, decaf, 2, a low fat milk, also an orange juice, I love McDonald's, good time, great taste, and I get this all at one place.
It's the word twister.
That was pretty good.
Rubber baby buggy bumpers.
Was that sound like it was all one breath?
I know, right? Did you ever do the rubber baby buggy bumpers?
You know,
I remember that.
I've done that. I did when I was younger in a past life in my theater era. That was one of the like vocal
rubber baby
exercises.
Buggy bumpers. Rubber baby buggy bumpers. Rubber baby buggy bumpers.
It's red leather, yellow leather. All these. I remember that one from like a drama warm up for speech. Red leather, yellow leather. Red leather, yellow leather.
We used to do it to. I think it's an Ace Frehley song.
Really?
From Kiss.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What does that sound like?
I don't know.
Ace Frehley solo? Remember when they did like the 4 simultaneous solo records? Remember that? Were you a Kiss? Were you part of the Kiss Army?
I was, but not a fanatic. I'm trying to think of what song that was. I think it was maybe I Was Made for Loving You. It's the bridge. I'll have to think about it. Man, that was 1979. And we would do the rubber baby buggy bumpers.
But to the Ace Frehley melody? That's pretty sweet, dude.
It was insane.
That's pretty
80s radio, man. It was
a
good time.
I love that. Did we think of what the name was for that the Aussie bit that we played earlier? Like the fake interview thing? Is there a name for that bit?
There was a name, and I can't recall what the hell we called it. There was a method to the madness because we used to do it all the time. Matter of fact, it got stale, and the reason it went away is because everybody started doing it.
Yeah. Like I remember, like my radio stations would do it, like not even with just one artist. They would just have like a, you know, like a fake interview or something. They'd just, you know, bring in all whatever songs are popular at that time.
It's fun to hear these silly things nowadays. Speaking of silly things, and this breakup that's going on with Ozzy.
Oh
and
wait,
his
they,
wife.
Oh really?
Yeah. He was cheating with the hairdresser.
That's what I hear.
Yeah, allegedly.
Now he was cheating?
Yes, and so they're on the verge of divorce. Now I hear that she might let him stay, but she lawyered up last week.
I just love that phrase. It's time to lawyer up.
Lawyer up. He didn't go off the crazy train, so he's right, pun intended.
You don't even need the songs. You're doing the bit right there.
And so he didn't lose his sobriety. That's not what it was about.
Yeah?
Just fooling around with the hairdresser.
Good old fashioned stepping out.
You know, I can't blame the guy. You know, like they're leaning you back, they're like massaging the scalp. When you know, he's not made of stone. He's only human.
It's crazy stone that he can still get crazies. Right? Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking. I'm like,
it's a crazy train. He can still get.
Maybe I just don't see it. Grandpa Ozzy.
Think about that. Ozzy being back on the market, though, ladies.
I don't see what's happening. I don't know. They've been together, I think, 33 years.
They've been there for a long time.
It would be a shame. And one of the affairs that's going on right now is Blake Shelton and Gwen Stefani. Now, have you heard? She put out this album. It's almost like they're in high school. They're setting themselves up to fail, I think. This whole Gwen Stefani and Blake Shelton. They fell in love on The Voice. Oh, yeah. And now Gwen Stefani puts this album out. And you got to think, this is like high school, man.
Is Blake, you know, on the album, just, too?
Yes. Okay. Yes. And one of the songs that's out, the new duet with Gwen Stefani, it's called Go Ahead and Break My Heart.
Oh,
it's
boy.
About the insecurities and trust issues they had when they had to work through their relationship and when they, you know, started getting serious. I don't know. It just...
It seems really marketed.
No, it seems really high schoolish. Sophomoric.
I worry about
how bad is it going to seem, speaking of cringeworthy, for them when this doesn't work out.
Well.
And yeah, let's
it'll
take a
be
listen.
Tabloid listen.
You got something?
Oh yeah, I've got something. I've always got something. Love Gwen Stefani.
Sounds like the Motels.
Yes, very good.
The production is very Motels.
Where's he at?
Is he to me? It's like the leads in the senior play.
Yes!
Are like, they fell in love during the dress rehearsal or during tech week.
Yes!
And we're all going to sabotage it any way we can. Yes. Screw them. Well, she's gone a little bit country there, and he's gone a little bit rock and roll.
Rock and roll. I was digging that verse just because it sounded like, I mean, I'm a big Motels fan.
I know. And it does sound like Motels. Yeah. It's funny that you mentioned that. It's not an Ozzy song, but it sounds AC/DC to me. It's The Highway to Hell, that one.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay. Also, when you set up that story, just the idea of like, I mean, saying to their friends or to potential kids, like, we fell in love on The Voice. Like, what is that? Get out of here with that. Like, what?
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah. And didn't Gwen, the whole breakup with Gavin Rossdale.
So are they officially broken up or
yeah,
no?
Yeah, they're divorced.
Oh, so I didn't know that.
I think has the divorce been final? I'm not sure they finalized the divorce. And neither with, I don't know if his is to Miranda Lambert. I know that being processed. Are they all the way through it?
Yeah, what are we?
I don't know my country music.
Don't look at me.
Don't look at
you.
I didn't
realize. All right, Kevin. Are you working on that? Are you looking at
right?
Somebody there are so many names I'm looking up right now.
That's okay. Yeah. All right, let's take a break and we'll be back. And I want to get to this story that we were talking about in SoCal, where before I save you from that burning car.
I heard you talk about that. I want to talk about
that. Right. Let me set up the camera first to make sure that I record this for social media so I can be a star. That's on the way on the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810 along with Joe Tobin. But first, with a look at traffic, Lee Graham.
Drex on the next generation of KGO 810.
I remember when we broke up the first time. Seeing this is it, I've had enough. Cause like we hadn't seen each other in a month when you said you needed space.
What?
Then Taylor Swift.
Come around again and say,
I'm totally into this song. I'm not even kidding. It's a great song.
Trust me,
it's a great pop song. Like, listen to this chorus.
We break up, you call me, I love you.
It's amazing. It's irresistible as a pop chorus. So well produced. We got just the kicks here, but then on the chorus, the snares come in. Vocals are double tracked. It's great. It's so good.
But everybody in Hollywood's getting back together again. While they break up, Ozzy and
Sharon
will be back together.
They will. I agree.
I'm not sure about Gavin Rossdale and Gwen Stefani. That's not going to happen. That divorce is finalized.
Yeah, I feel like that really ran its course.
Blake,
I'm surprised it lasted as long as it did. It was such a 90s marriage.
Yeah,
you know, and one of them kind of stayed in the 90s.
90210.
Well, yeah. There was the drummer or somebody in the band wasn't there, and I don't know.
But like, yeah, so like Gwen kind of kept evolving, you know, did some solo stuff, kind of went back to the band. Like she kind of kept moving throughout the 2000s and people kind of stopped caring about Bush and Gavin Rossdale. There's only so many
Bush.
Greatest hit CDs you can buy of.
I know. But now, I mean, rolling with him, with Blake.
With who? Yeah.
Yeah. If that doesn't work out.
Then what do we do?
Appreciate her for her music again.
Right. Yes, there's always that. All right, so let's get to this. So there's this guy in, he's in SoCal, and, well, welcome to 2016. If you do something amazing, but it's not on social media, I guess it didn't really happen. It
doesn't happen, that's right.
Yeah, this guy named Santiago from Riverside was going to work late last week when a car crashed outside and caught on fire. So he ran outside heroically.
Mm-hmm. Well, hang on. Let's hold off on the heroically word.
Yeah.
Let's hear all the facts.
But first, he propped up his phone so he could take a video of what he was doing.
I have so many questions. Like, I'd love to know.
Him.
I'm picturing him like getting one of those. Like, was he setting up his tripod?
Right.
Yeah. Oh, he was setting up his camera. Okay. So I'm gonna play him describing this.
Oh, okay.
I'm gonna do this in reverse. So here is Santiago talking about what went through his head as he was becoming a hero. Okay.
As
Jesus was making him a hero. That's what I'm saying, people.
Right.
So as the revelation and the miracle was happening.
Thou shalt turn on thy phone recorder.
Yes, that's right. Now listen to this.
I had to save him. You know, I saw the big explosion. I saw the fire. And I was not going to see a human get burnt. He's alive. He's alive. We're happy he's alive. I know that he might not have been alive if I wasn't there. You know, I'd do it all over again for my daughters.
Dude, you're blowing it.
Wow.
You blew it.
It's the worst acting since Trump.
I also like that his choice of words there, where he's like, I don't want to see a human get burned.
Oh,
but yet he made sure to videotape the whole thing.
Yeah.
Now I'm
so
going.
So that we all could see it.
Because he's saved now because of me. Yeah.
Are you ready to hear the actual audio? After he took time to set up his camera to record the whole thing.
Yeah, I want to hear
the real thing. All right. So you can hear him. You can hear the phone at the beginning.
Okay.
So listen to the technical portion at the beginning.
Priorities, dude.
Something about call 911 or something.
Call 911. Yeah. And thanks to the video, you can see him run over there and drag the driver out of the car. Then he started yelling to other people, dial 911, which, you know, he could have actually done with his own phone before he started recording.
I think he also called people to also start their videos because he wanted to get a couple different angles.
Right.
You know,
he wanted to get a wide shot,
together.
A tight shot.
I think
he had them do,
I think, three or four takes.
Right. That was really, really good.
Sure.
I believed it.
Now, let's take it again from the top.
This time more emotion.
Just do it as written
this time, and
then we'll do the kind of improv version. Let's stick to the script for now.
I can't do it. You know, I'm fooling around with Snapchat.
Yeah.
And Snapchat's a lot of fun because you can connect with a lot of people and things are up there and they're gone. So nothing naughty. But the whole point is to constantly record yourself.
Yes.
And it just seems too much. Now, I was doing it last week for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then as soon as the time runs out, then you've got to post something more. So it's an endless. You have to right now during the break. I would post us talking to each other. And then we go to the next break.
How long
break.
Does then it stay up there?
It stays until all of your contacts see it. All the people that are hooked up with you.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right. I haven't messed with that one yet. I've messed with some other ones, but
who was telling me? I guess Snapchat. You messed up by not letting Facebook buy you. Did somebody say that to me?
It wasn't me. I don't know about these things.
Google? I don't know. I'm not sure who owns
who. So they missed out on an opportunity to be bought up?
I think somebody told me that.
So there's something up there and you like don't want it to be up there anymore, but like one person
hasn't viewed
it.
You can send it to somebody. Yes. That's the secret. If you were sexting, for example, you could put it up there that it's up there for 1 second, then it disappears, never to be seen again. So they say. But
yeah.
And the thing is that people screenshot you, though.
Of course. it is an imperfect system.
I don't know, but my point is, it's too much work.
Okay, I can see that.
For me.
Yeah.
Now, if I'm doing it for my job, that's fine. If the program director said, all right, we're going to Snapchat your whole show, then that's what we would do because we have breaks to do those things. But when you involve this in your entire life, I have a buddy who does this,
mm-hmm.
and he's really into it. So he was looking for a house this weekend, so he's got to go and there you go. We're here. We're driving to house number one. Then we're driving to house number two. Then they have the results. And I didn't
people
like
are going
to
vote on it or something?
Well, you can.
Is
you
he crowdsourcing
can...
his next
no,
home?
No, he's not really crowdsourcing. It's just for your amusement. Oh, okay. If you want to see what he's up to.
I see.
Yeah. It's very, the platform itself is great. There's a lot of things going on.
Yeah.
For instance, you could have a tour of Dubai in about 20 seconds of all things live there.
You can, but they also will save stuff, though, I believe. I think that's an option, right? Like, you can do...
I think
what
so.
What do they call them? Like, there's a name for that, like stories. There's some kind of name where they will also, you can save photos. I don't know.
I call it the video function
like
on
I
my phone.
I know less than even than I actually know.
I know. Well, the Snapchat folks are saying, Drex, you just don't get it. Now I'm working on it, though. It's my latest thing I'm trying to hammer down technically.
So, but all right, I want to... Yeah. So this
of all
this,
worlds of social media.
This guy, this quote, this hero guy.
Yes.
What, I mean, what are people, calling him out on this? Like, are people...
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Because, right. Come on, dude. Like, that's not, yes. That's not...
I had to do it for my daughter so she could see what a hero I am. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Now there's backlash. Of course there is.
Yeah, okay, good. Well, that's good. That's something. That gives us some hope. He said of the camera first.
Well, this is going on nationwide. People see bad things happening to people, but they start recording before they help.
Also, I have to say, too, I don't know if you, this might be something you know, like an East Coast thing. Whenever I hear stories about any kind of an automobile fire, the first thing I think is barbecue.
Oh, no.
Because that was the word that the radio guys would use when I was a kid. Like the morning
barbecue.
The morning traffic guys. Be like, oh, we got ourselves a barbecue on the Schuylkill Expressway.
In Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, right on.
Every morning. Look out,
connection.
Boys. We got ourselves a barbecue.
Barbecue. All the school kids.
I love Joe Tobin's radio voice.
Hey.
Great.
Love it. I mean, so that's what I think. I'm like, it's a horrible thing. This person almost died. But it was a barbecue. Yeah, we got ourselves a...
Let's talk about other fun, horrible things on the other side of the newscast here. Head transplants, they will work. They're on their way. And scientists seek to bring back dead brains, actually bringing them back to life. But I like the head transplant. The operation is set up and it's ready to roll.
Cool.
Good, bad?
What could possibly go wrong?
What could possibly go wrong in this 15-hour operation? More than